What's up, Beefs? November 21st, 2020. College football, Saturday. Saturday is the one day where I insist with the kids don't just watch their show all the time. The wife just puts their crap on all day and never wavers from that because she just doesn't want to deal with them. And if you don't put something they're interested in, they start to want your attention. I know, it's awful. And so, but Saturdays, I'm like, I don't care. I'm watching college football. I'm watching my race. I don't care what you can. The last race I tried to watch was almost, they were so bad. I'm like, dude, worse than normal. Anyway, usually when there's one, though, it's not nearly as bad. Because the second she gets a second of attention, the last episode was about kids. And but I watch college football. Now I'm watching Georgia, Mississippi State. So I record these games. And I'm watching it, what I call semi-live. Oftentimes, I'll catch up to the live version. So I just miss a bunch. Like, football has a lot of commercials, way more than other shows. Although, I was going to say, it's the highest rated TV show, but the ratings are down 30%. Ratings are down huge for basketball. Ratings are down huge for baseball and hockey. Why are people tuning out sports? 30%. And you might be, well, it's because of the election. Yeah, but last year, basketball was down 40%. So there's no, I don't know what it is. People, I guess, are just done with it. A lot of my, let's call them, my southern relatives, well, my wife's relatives, actually, I should stop thinking of them as my family. Anyway, my wife's, people kind of, they're acquaintances. We make small talk. And they stopped watching NASCAR. That used to be the thing we talk about. And they just stopped watching it. I'm like, are you kidding me? In 2015, I went with my brother-in-law to the Daytona 500, actually two of them. We had a grand old time. We had a blast. I was like, this is awesome. And I told, I'm into racing now. By 2017, they were all out because NASCAR changed with this playoff thing. They didn't like that. And then they have playoffs. The only way playoffs work is you have to disqualify the other teams. You'd basically have to have the last race be like four cars. Seriously. It's kind of cool because the winner of the championship has also won the race. Now you have, it's by the championship race, there's four cars that can win the championship, and they but it's whoever finished, like if they finished all like last, second to last, third to last, and fourth to last would win the championship because they run all the other cars, right? So I'm like, it's not really playoffs. It's not the same if the other teams are in the actual game. Now they have to let them in because of money and stuff. Because part of the money they make is just having the cars be on TV. That's how you sell those stickers that are on them. So, anyway, so it's kind of weird. It's kind of cool but at the same time, it's the same people. It's the same effect. Now, the outcome changes, okay? So I said same effect, but the outcome changes. Think of it like this. Imagine if it was done in F1, right? You pretty much know at the beginning of the season there's six drivers. I'm going to use a regular season, not the 2020, Ferrari meltdown, COVID, / Red Bull can't find a second driver. Actually, it's the second year of that, but we'll just pretend that Daniel Ricciardo is still there. So there's three teams and six potential drivers that could be champions realistically that year. In NASCAR, it's like 10 or 12 out of 45 or 42. And in, this year was three. And actually, one. So it's about the same. But it's been six most of the years I've been watching. It was six drivers. They could legitimately go that guy could. There is a possibility. Right? Who's a really... The Browns are winning a Super Bowl. It's not, the Bengals aren't going to win a Super Bowl. You know that. Then there are teams that are like, oh, at the beginning of the season, like New England. Maybe Belichick's got Cam Newton. That, you know, I mean, the guy's capable. Maybe all he needs is a little bit of, like, finesse here and here. Tampa Bay, Tom Brady, same diff. You know, but then you got teams like, you know, are solid. New Orleans, blah, blah, blah. So who's doing well? Oh, Kansas City. Same idea. Well, if you were to do the do like a playoff, and they start, they do like the top, I think it's like 16 people. So to like, it's basically half. So the way it would work in F1, you know, just to give you like an idea, it would be like the top eight, like halfway through the season with like, if we're going to use eight and they drop two per race, you go the eight, the six, the four, and you want to get to four as your magic last race number, not two. That's a bit silly. You're talking the last, let's say they do 16 drivers. It just makes it the last four races. And you drop, you know, not, no, 16. Yeah, they drop half every time. So it would go 16, 8, no. God, I got to get this. You drop four every time. So it's 16, 12, 10, 8, 4. So it's four races. And on race four, it's four guys. Think about how that would look. You know, again, Danny Ricciardo the Red Bull second driver is good and Ferrari's good. And we'll use the drivers of today. We'll pretend Albon's good. We'll pretend Ferrari's good. That was the old regime. Right now, it's just, it's stupid to do it because it's painfully obvious. But it would be like this, right? It would probably, if you're going to do 16 drivers, you'd lose Latifi. You'd lose Haas and Williams, basically. Those four, because it's by driver, not team. NASCAR doesn't do like that sort of team thing exactly the same way. So, and also there's dudes that have like four cars. There's teams of four cars, five, I think four is the most. Anyway, the first, you drop Latifi and, you know, Williams and Haas. They're just gone. That's the first set of guys out, just based on points. Then it starts to get like, basically, it would be like, I'm going to look it up because it's not that hard to look up this particular. I know exactly where to look. And here's one of the reasons I stopped really Googling stuff while I talk. Sometimes it cuts off the recording, but Formula One doesn't. Anything that has embedded video makes a recording stop. That's why. 2020. Then round two. Right, again, exactly the same way. Like who's gonna do what? You lose. Actually, you lose Giovinazzi too, because there's, right, Grosjean, Magnussen, Latifi, and Russell don't get into the playoffs. Right, then the first round you lose Giovinazzi, Raikkonen, Kvyat, and like you basically like AlphaTauri, right? Those dudes. And then you would lose, like, then it would start getting weird. Because now, once you've gotten past, like, the bottom feeders, you start getting into, like, luck. Like, how does Ocon do that day? How does Stroll? At the next at the bottom, you'd have, like, Ocon, Stroll, Gasly, Norris. Sainz makes it further up. But eventually, when you get to the last eight, six of them are going to be those dudes. So this year, assuming all these like little fantasy twerks I made to it, it would be Perez and Ricciardo. So after the first two rounds, you eliminate everyone but Perez, Ricciardo, Team Ferrari, Team Red Bull, and Team Mercedes-Benz. That's actually where it starts getting interesting. The following round, you'd lose Ricciardo and Perez. Almost 100% chance. You know, unless something goes wrong, like a DNF. Right now, and you lose two more dudes, and probably like this year, just based on like quality of racing, again, with the teams being what they are, just to make it easy to talk about, you'd lose Vettel and you'd lose Albon, right? And now you got what's left, and that's, it would be Verstappen, the two Mercedes guys, and Leclerc. in the final, right? And based on how – I'm just basing this on how the races have been going, Hamilton's likely to win, right, in all probabilities. But here's the cool thing. Here's what's really cool. Likely to win. First of all, it's not over with five races left to go. Now, he had this big emotional da-da-da. I don't think he was acting. I think he really was super happy to become tied as one of the two best drivers of all time and likely to be considered the best driver of all time, right? I believe he really was crying like that. And I believe he's not acting that he's happy about these wins. He is. He's working hard. I don't think he sees it quite. We look at it and go, oh, yeah, Hamilton won. But the Hamilton, it's like, no, I have to fight to win. It's like, maybe. Maybe he does. Maybe that's just, anyway, whatever, right? But here's the fun part. It could go wrong. One stupid little thing and that's that. Like, one dumb mistake. And it does happen to Hamilton sometimes. He gets, like, blind, dumb luck. Usually it goes the other way. But all he has to do is be that race. Last race of the season. And he runs over some piece of carbon fiber and he gets a flat. That's it. Oh, you were like way ahead on points. You could literally have won every other race, had every pole position, led every lap, had fastest lap on every race, and lose the championship. That's interesting, right? That's where I think that's actually an improvement. The part that sucks is you have to allow the other cars to race in the races those guys are in. And I think they blue flag it. I think the other cars are like, yeah, go ahead. We're racing after. Just like mid-pack does in F1. But that being said, aside from that little tiny weirdism, it's like kind of a cool concept now that I think about it. You were like the 16th guy to get into this. You just barely hung on every time you finished just well enough to win. And then you get lucky on that race day and you're like the worst guy that could have possibly won it. That's a fun outcome. That's the myth of the NCAA basketball tournament. The truth is, yeah, 8th seeds win, right? That's happened twice that I can think of off the top of my head, NC State, Villanova. But generally speaking, like 1 through 4 seeds. Now there's 4 1 seeds, 4 2 seeds. But 1 through 4 seeds, which is like 16 teams, the top 16 teams, are usually in the final four and beyond. Like it'll be just that, like 99% or whatever, 90% of. So like it's the same thing with college football. Would it be cool to just make it so that they like got rid of a couple of conferences, like relegated them to championship series, and I'm sure there's more to it, whatever, but like relegated them to championship series and then just said, okay, we're down to like 8 real conferences or 10 real conferences. Everybody gets to like come in plus 2 wild cards or whatever to even it out. We got like an 8 team, blah, blah, blah. And then you get like teams like Central Florida and Boise State in it for the national championship. Yeah, it's a cool idea. And every once in a while, an 8 seed, sooner or later, an 8 seed will win it, you know, if it takes 100 years. In basketball, the percent chance that a 64 seed, wait, did they go that? No, 16. There's 64 teams. Actually, there's 66. No, because of the playing game. Anyway, almost zero. But in football, an 8th-ranked team, there might in 100 years be a chance for them. Here's the problem. And I've noticed this once I started following college football in 2007 because I read the preseason guide. It's like 3-inch thick, like Bible, like not Bible, but like giant magazine, Mel Kiper's, blah, blah, blah. Because it was in the toilet in Al-Asad, and I just sat there and I read it day in, day out. And then one day I just like, why am I leaving it here? I just brought it into the ops office and I just sat there reading it. And I read about every team, all 119 or 20 or 23 or 5,000 teams that are in Division I, every single one. And that year, I got home in September, just in time for that season to just started, and allowed me. Now, we had, I could have kind of followed it in Iraq. We had TV. It's called Armed Services Networks. And they have, they play like every sport played. It's like actual ESPN. But I whatever. It was, yeah. So, yeah, I started following it. And I've never really stopped. I used to record Maryland games. And then I, like, you know, I went to see a couple Temple games while I was in school there for those 2 wonderful years. And, blanked out for a second. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, college football. Right. That's how I got into it. But this year and last, like every year, I got more and more into it. And I always used to fight that thing when Kirk Herbstreit tries to tell me that this team is like, you don't understand. You don't, like, I don't know how many times I had to listen to ESPN tell me, like, listen, I know you think Boise State's good, but they're not. That 10-2 LSU is just a better team. We know what we're talking about. And I was always like, F you. But this year, last year, year before, I started noticing that that's actually kind of true. Because I started watching a lot of SEC games, which I wouldn't. I was automatically like, to the SEC. Because that's the ESPN's chosen. Right? It just matters more. They have more fans. Da-da-da. But I like watching Pac-12. For a couple reasons. One, when I was in high school, the only real college football games I would really watch were like the big bowl games with friends. And then on Saturday nights, after my football game, we'd party. And at the parties, it was football guys. So they would throw on some college football game. And I would sit and kind of absentmindedly observe it, like notice it. I really wasn't. I tried. At the height of my playing football, it was like my favorite thing I've ever done. I couldn't watch it on TV. Like, I couldn't. Like, I would watch it and die of boredom instantly. Isn't that weird? I always thought that was so strange. Anyway, after many deaths and resurrections as myself instantly at that moment, but now I noticed that, and I really, really picked up on it last year with LSU. I remember watching them play Georgia. Georgia's rank was ranked 4th at the time. And for like one series, it looked like they were in it. And then you just watch them. And the score wasn't even that bad. It was like 34-21 or something like that. And I'm like, no, that score is actually... And the Georgia had kept it close, in quotes, till the end. But it wasn't. It was just like some luck was keeping LSU. Like there was some like invisible force field, like anti-LSU bubble around the end zone that decided to go away at the end of the game, and just like, but it was like weird. They just handled them the whole time. And I'm like, I watched Georgia beat the crap out of other teams. And then this team just comes in there and it's not a contest. Clemson, same thing. Like this year, it's going to be like Clemson has a loss. Yeah, because their quarterback got COVID, wasn't allowed to play. And it was still close. And they were playing a good team. You know, I'm actually starting to believe the pundits. Because my eyeballs are telling me the same thing. These guys, the more sophisticated I become at being able to watch college football and notice what's what, the more it's coinciding with what these guys are saying. Now, make another point. I've done a bunch of brackets for the NCAA, never for money. But I remember in college, me and my roommates one year, when I was living with like, it was these black guys, but I don't think that matters. Lots of white people do this too. I don't know why it was a germane comment. But anyway, we made a bunch of brackets. Like not just one or two or three. It was like a ton, like 6 a piece. The guy shows up with like a stack of, he went out and made dittos. No, not dittos, like copies. And he came in like a stack. He's like, and he was like, all right, so here's what we're going to do. And it was like, we bet like, and he was like, as many brackets as you want. He had like, and some of these dudes, I think I filled out 6. One guy filled out like 10. But I remember thinking about it, and I was like, in economics major, and it was all about like data, and I was like, well, what data do I have on these teams? It's not going to require super. This is like, we had internet, but it wasn't quite, there's no Wikipedia. It was like hit or miss if you're going to find stuff on there. And so, I mean, like, I could have gotten stats, but I basically did a couple of, like, I was like, all right, I'm going to do who has the most wins. So if one team's 30-0 and another team would be like 31-42, I'd choose 31-42 over the 30-win team. Right. So I did that. Then I did this thing, was like winning percentage. I calculated out all the winning percentages and I did winning percentage down the line. And then like what at the time would have been what my buddy Pink Sheet calls laundry, or like who I want to win. I did another one based on like prestige, like my vision, like Duke won it or something. You know what I mean? Like the Final Four would be like Duke, UCLA, well, contemporary. Duke. I don't know who else is good because I don't follow it anymore. All right. Historically, Duke, North Carolina, UCLA, Indiana, you know, Florida won 2 years in a row of all places under a guy that's an NBA coach now. So none of that came close to my buddies who follow the sport super closely and were using like guides. Got way closer. What does that say? How's that germane to what I'm talking about? You look at those Boise State. I think Boise State should have got an opportunity to play. Don't get me wrong. But I believe those pundits when they were like, yeah, they're undefeated for 3 years. They're awesome. But now part of that is like there is this, because it's subjective, there is inertia. So those, that Boise State team might be the bad example, but here's a good example. Hawaii just blew up the Pac-12 one year, ran through it, undefeated, and went up against like a two-loss Georgia team in some bowl game, some one of the bigger bowl games, and got smashed. And all the pundits were like, Georgia's going to crush them. Because Hawaii, yeah, they beat USC, they beat Cal, they beat Stanford, Oregon, la, 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 Washington, Washington. But it's not the same. They're like, they're just not, it's not like, they didn't beat USC teams that were USC teams. That's what they're basically like. They just, that was like a, it was a combination of like slightly off year and them having like four All-American wide receivers and like a first round, or I think it was a second round draft pick quarterback. Because he was kind of short. And he might actually, no, there's no way that guy's still in the NFL. But like, and that was kind of like, oh, and then like, dude, that's a moment. We got to think like, maybe these guys are right. Again, it would be super cool to have it be this other thing that everybody gets a shot. And sooner or later, an 8 seed is going to win it. A 9-7, I think it was a Cardinals team, won a Super Bowl 1 year. 9-7 regular season record. An 18-0 New England Patriots team lost to like the Giants and just like one of the most frustrating things I've ever watched. Why do I care about New England football? Tom Brady. I'm kind of like, I like the Belichick thing, the fan of him as well. And I just wanted to see a team be undefeated so it won't be the Miami Dolphins. Do I hate the Miami Dolphins? No, I just hate their colors. Yeah, I know. That's kind of gay, but on my part, but whatever. It's the way I like it. Anyway, thanks for listening. Talk to you later. Bye.